We're now joined by head coach Thomas Hotmer of the Princeton Tigers. Princeton's debut on KTTN is coming up Friday night. It's the first road swing for the Tigers this year. They got on a bus a couple weeks ago to go to Milan, but this will be a longer trip to go to Dearborn, take on the North Platte Panthers. It's a game you can hear on KTTN with Football Frenzy at 6. We'll talk with Coach Wright, and we will replay this interview with Coach Hotmer before the kickoff. Tigers, they ran into a team, we talked about it last week, but there are kind of two squads in the KCI that you kind of look at and say that they haven't been quite to the level of the other teams in the conference, and that's kind of Mid-Buck and North Platte. Now, Mid-Buck, they're pretty good last week in beating Princeton, as I'll talk about that and look at this meeting with North Platte with Coach Hotmer. Coach, Mid-Buchanan, much, much improved team it looks like from a year ago.
Yeah, I think they're much improved. A lot of guys were young last year, so they got a whole year of experience, and I think that they brought the physical toughness it takes to be able to win a game, and they were certainly a lot more physical than we were. Early in the game, we had a lot of opportunities, a lot of open throws over the middle that we didn't connect on, and you know, certainly if you can do that, you get up 20 or 28 to nothing, and I think it changes the course of the game, but they brought the pressure. We didn't capitalize, and just kind of threw us off for the rest of the night.
That's kind of, you know, that's the old mental game. I've been talking about that with coaches a lot here midweek, how it's one thing to win it physically, and you can certainly win football games physically, but if you miss opportunities and then, you know, just psychologically, it's tough to not do sometimes. You know, your head sags, and all of a sudden you look up and you give up a bad play.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's what it was. It was stuff we practiced all week. We knew how we guessed that they were going to be lined up like this, and here's the looks we wanted. And then you go in and you got some nerves or anxiousness going, and you barely miss those, and then it's just, it makes a little bit longer night mentally, and hoping that, hey, next time you can make it, and you don't get it done. So, and then once they get one big play, it kind of throws everything off. You're constantly playing catch up, so they made it really tough on us all night.
The common phrase that I heard from a couple of different folks that have seen the film of that game was it just looked like the Dragons were maybe a step and a half to a couple of steps quicker than the Tigers.
Yeah, with their pressure, I would agree with that. They just pressured us all night and established line of scrimmage a lot better than we did.
So, and here's the other thing, too, and we were talking off the air, I said I kind of felt like I got to Wednesday afternoon, and I was talking with one coach after the other who is, you know, took it on the chin a little bit, and you said, well, I'll get in line for that one.
Yep.
Unfortunately, yep. Yeah, that kind of happens from time to time. But here's the thing coming off a loss, especially, you know, you have a lot of guys who are playing significant Friday night minutes for the first time. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't get them better in the long run, the loss was, you know, you didn't get anything from it. Do you feel like that your team got better from what they learned, especially in practice this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just the sense of urgency, it's been a lot better. There's a certain way to prepare and a lot that goes into just to giving yourself a chance to win. So I think that even with the target on our back from the year we had last year, we know we're going to get everybody's best, and we got a lot of new kids, and it's their opportunity to step up. So just that urgency that it takes to be able to prepare to win, I think that's what has kind of stepped up a little bit. I know with the coaches and with the players this week, with new kids stepping into new roles. I got a lot of young kids, a lot of sophomores playing for the first time. So I think that's one thing that we'll be able to lean on and we'll be able to get better from seeing varsity speed week one. And knowing that it's just not going to be given to us, we have to go out and earn it every week.
So from about 4:30 to 6 o'clock on Tuesday night, I was covering the Putnam County Trenton softball game. They got it in. Thank goodness it went quick.
Yeah.
But I was watching the radar the whole time, and there was a stream of rain that was just north of the northwest of the ballpark. It looked like it was kind of going from about Gallatin to Princeton. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I know you got rained in a lot last night. Did you get any of the practices in on Tuesday?
We got a little bit in, and we had to move inside, and we just got a pretty good downpour last night, so our fields are flooded, and we're going to try to adapt and figure out how to still be able to prepare and get ready for Friday night, whether it be in the gym or on a parking lot or wherever we can to make sure we get our work done.
Well, I tell you what, it might rain on Friday night. There's a lot of rain in the forecast, yeah. So you might be playing with a wet ball anyway.
Yeah, and that's part of it, and we couldn't get any rain all summer, and then it feels like every week at football it's been a lot of rain. So last time we went to North Platte, and that was our tornado game. We didn't start till 9:30, and there was a lot of heavy rain. So just something you always have to be prepared for. You never know what the weather's going to do. It's one of those things outside of your control, but being able to practice with it a little bit, I think that helps give us a little bit of confidence knowing that we can still play a physical style of football no matter what the weather is.
After the fact, it probably is the case, but it's hard to find a good story from any game that gets referred to as the tornado game, Coach.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was a crazy night, not getting home until 3 o'clock in the morning. It was pretty brutal.
That was at North Platte, was it not?
Yes, it was at North Platte, and they had standing water out past the numbers on their field. They had to call a company in and to get it all sucked off the field and drained outside the track. It was pretty nice. We showed up at 5 o'clock, sunny skies. Everything was beautiful. Then by 6 o'clock, it was downpour, dark. Everyone's put in the basements for tornadoes. And so it was a crazy night, I'd say.
I think you got back about 2 in the morning, didn't you?
Yeah, it was somewhere between 2:30.
We'll try to get you home earlier tonight, Coach, and control the weather a little bit. So this is your return trip to North Platte. They look like kind of the same discussion with Mid-Buchanan, a team that hasn't had great success over the years, but I'm kind of hearing that with Coach Wright over there, that they're doing some good things.
Oh, he's doing some really good things with them. They're a lot more consistent, and I think that they play really hard. And on film, I know they've just lost to Gallatin, but it was a lot closer than what the final score was, and they moved the ball up and down all night. They were able to really get a lot of what they wanted. Once they got into the red zone, they'd have a holding call, and then that just kind of set them back. They could never capitalize, but they did a lot of really good things, and the biggest thing is their effort. I see kids flying around on offense, on defense, and so they're definitely trending in the right direction. It's going to take our full focus and intensity and effort to be able to come out of there with a win.
Yeah, I was talking with Coach Teresa Gallatin about that game, and he said, Gallatin got off to a good start, but pretty much couldn't get the ball in the second quarter. And their defense played a little bit of that bend but don't break, and that kept them in the lead. But North Platte completely dominated that second quarter against a good Gallatin team.
Yeah, they did. They just eat that clock, too. They move the chains 4 yards a pop and good ball control, and that's something that really stuck out on film. Is you've got to be able to get stops early, get the ball back on offense, or it's going to be a long night.
Physicality, Coach, is that an area where you feel like the boys just need to bring a little bit more this week?
Yeah, certainly. We've got to be ready to bring it. It's a lot different going against your scout team in practice and being able to whoop up on them a little bit than now you're playing real varsity guys. And that's just something you've got to be ready to accept, and that's just part of being tough. And being mentally tough, physically tough, you've got to go and be ready to bring it because they're lining up to come right at you. So we have to definitely prove that this week.
Yeah, one of the interesting aspects, we talked about this coming into the season, was you're going to have a lot of guys graduate. We know that. You're going to have a lot of guys off a JV team. That was very good last year, so they had a lot of success. But there's such a big difference between Monday night and Friday night, and the adjustment just doesn't happen in 1 week, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was good for most of our sophomores last week, just get a taste of that speed. But it wasn't even just them. It was just all of us all around. We weren't ready for that speed and that just kind of a lot of guys going more both ways. Last year we had a lot more depth where you only had a few kids that were going both ways. This year we've got so many that were going both ways. And I think by the second half when you start to tire out and you're already down 14, 20 points and you have to try to mount a comeback, I could definitely see it out there that we physically weren't ready for that.
So this is a good news, bad news thing, because I had heard this through the grapevine. I checked it with you. You did lose your quarterback, Austin Kelly, to a broken leg. And my immediate thought was, well, if that happened, Austin would be out for the year, and not so much. He might be out 4 to 5 weeks, which for a broken leg is the best-case scenario. What happened to him?
Yeah, best-case scenario. That kid deserves everything he gets. He's worked really hard for this opportunity, ready for his turn, and no doubt he's going to be really good. So we're just hopeful that the doctors are right, and it'll be a quick, speedy recovery, and he'll be able to join us again this season. So his health is most important, but we are hoping for the best.
First quarter injury, Coach, you said it happened early?
Yes, it happened third possession of the game.
Did it take any of the air out of your sails? I mean, what was it, the sort of thing where you knew that he was going to be out for the game or out for a while, where it took some of the guys in your young team just a while to adjust, or was that not a factor?
I think obviously losing a kid like that, it takes a little bit out of you, but I'd say one thing that we've done a pretty good job of this year is giving our backup a lot more reps in practice. And so I think there's always confidence in the kid we've got going in now that he's a really good leader, and it's just something that you don't want to lose your starting quarterback at all, because he's also our starting corner on defense. Mm-hmm. But the kids have confidence. I think they responded as well as you can and as well as you hope for them to do it.
What Andrew Smith did so well for you last year, and not that Austin or Cam Hartley, you're expecting to be the next Andrew Smith. That's unfair to either kid. But if you can have a kid back there who can throw the ball a little bit and is a threat with his legs, that's what Andrew was. So if you can do that, and with Cam Hartley going here for the next month at that position, Cam can do that. He can throw it, and he can be a threat with his legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's tall kid. He's tough. He's a competitor, and I think he does have a pretty good ball. So he'll be able to at least help get some of that weight off our back and keeping some defenses honest and being able to throw the ball over the top. But he's also going to bring some physicality to his running ability, and that'll be fun to watch him grow as a quarterback too.
A lot of coaches have told me it always seems like it's easy to play at home. You're playing in familiar surroundings. You got friendly fans, friendly faces there. A lot of coaches tell me that. We play better on the road. There's camaraderie. We get on the bus. We kind of, we share things with one another. Then we're ready to go when we get there. And I think some of that comes from a maturity level and where the team is that way. But what's the biggest thing with, especially this week, getting on a bus, making a lengthy road trip, getting off that bus and being ready to go?
Yeah, I just think just the mental preparation that it takes and to stay focused and not worry about all the surroundings that – and the distractions out there, but just to stay focused, enjoy each other, enjoy the bus ride. I know our varsity bus, they've got some good music they all sing along to, and just the good team bonding, and they look forward to it on the way home as well, and it's always a little bit better when you come home with a win. So those are important and special moments that you never forget as a player, but just the mental preparation that it takes to stay focused, even on the road. And it's always fun to go in and spoil someone's home game or home victory, whether it be just a normal game or homecoming. It's always fun, and just to kind of see what else is out there, see what other stadiums have and the environment that you can be a part of.
That's Coach Hotmer at Princeton North Platte. That's at Dearborn. I've had a couple of people ask me this. Always is the case. You get over there and some of the people are, where is that at exactly? It's probably, if it go to St. Joe and then go down I-29, and it's probably about halfway between St. Joe and KCI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so, yep.
Just about in that area. It's off of the east side of the highway, so if you end up on the west side of 29, you've gone the wrong way. So it's over in that way. Coach, best of luck against the Panthers this week. We'll talk to you on your way back.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate it.